I'm Lisa Davis. Welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM. I love being in nature, and I find it healing and calming. And joining us today to talk about creating healing gardens that nurture the spirit is Topher Delaney, a visionary and internationally celebrated artist and landscape designer of healing gardens. At 39, she was diagnosed with breast cancer, which has spread to her lymph nodes. Topher made a pact with God. If she survived, she would devote her practice to helping others heal. Since her breast cancer treatment, Topher has created healing gardens for hospitals and sanctuaries, for civic business, and private spaces for the past 22 years. Quote, gardens are sanctuaries, believes Delaney, hallowed places of personal retreat. Topher Delaney's practice, Scene Studio in San Francisco, has evolved from a traditional landscape architecture practice to an altar, which serves as a venue for the investigation of cultural, social, and artistic narratives, seen together to form dynamic physical installations. Topher has received numerous awards and honors for her achievements in the realms of both landscape design and public art. Her work on the garden as a sanctuary has been published in the New York Times, Garden Illustrated, Vogue, Harper's Bazaar, Metropolitan Home, and Design Quarterly. She's also featured in Paradise Transform, Gardens of the 21st Century. Topher, welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM.
Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Topher. It's so good to have you here. Now, you were in Boston. You had given a lecture, Creating Healing Gardens that Nurture the Spirit, which was sponsored by Trinity Church and the Arnold Arboretum of Harvard University.
Correct.
On May 4th. And the lecture was part of a series of Garden and Spirit. And, you know, in your introduction, I mentioned you're being a breast cancer survivor and you're packed with God. Can you tell us a little bit about both?
Yes. So, at the age of 39, I had a very large art studio, and that art studio, and I continue to have it, but it had a different complexion at that time. I built all and continue to build all my own work, and I was building very, very large pieces and working, being commissioned by cities, private residences, institutions, all of those different types of commissioning bodies. There were about 40 people working in my studio. I ran the studio, a lot of fun, a lot of energy, a lot of complexity. And I ran that studio myself. I had very good assistance and help in that. But there was a moment there where, and it's interesting because it emotionally this moment came up, as did physically a very strong health moment, sort of a razor's edge, which is the breast cancer. And I wasn't, you know, I wasn't seeing where this was all going. I was financially very, very well off. I'm self-made. And I just thought, what's the continuum here? And that story was, and that thought was starting to take up quite a bit of space. And at the same time, there was a realization. My mother had had breast cancer, as had my grandmother. Both had passed on from it. Both, one not knowing the grandmother, not so much what was going on, my mother absolutely knowing what was going on. And neither survived. And
I'm sorry.
Well, you know, that's, you know, we start from somewhere we end. And that's
true.
And so I think in what I do, this métier, this work that I do in making environmental installations, my focus and medium is the garden. I see that. You know, you plant something, it has a term, and it turns out. And that is important. We really need to understand that we are part of a cycle. I would say, in the beginning of the cycle at 39, and I was misdiagnosed, and I went back in, and I'm saying this for your audience here, and it was a very, very good hospital. And I can't explain why that happened, but it did. But I believed I had it, and mm-hmm. I had a malignant tumor, and I could feel it. I had had a mammogram in April. This was in November. This was a very, very fast-growing tumor. And I went back in and I said, I think you've misdiagnosed it, and I believe it's malignant. That was not well received and by the medical profession. And they said, well, you'll have to get another mammogram. And I said, absolutely, I will get one. They said, well, your coverage doesn't cover it. I said, well, how much does it cost? They said, oh, it's $500. Now, this was several years ago, like 21 mm-hmm. years ago. So it was that price. I said, well, let's look at the facts here. This is what's going to stop me from knowing. I said, absolutely, I'm going to pay for this. Why wouldn't I? And these are, you know, one needs to ask these questions. They said, well, I think you're being kind of a hypochondriac, and just because your mother had it and your grandmother had it. Now, times have changed. I mean,
yeah, but
I hope.
That is outrageous.
It didn't matter to me. I mean, it was like that was their position and their mental state. Mm-hmm. It wasn't mine. And
yeah.
So I, you know, it's, you just get, that's someone else's theater. I
mm-hmm.
can't, it's not my theater. So anyway, I went back and sure enough, it was malignant. And I'll, you know, just never forget this. I was Tuesday evening, and I had switched hospitals, and I really advocate to people, and I think most women now do this, that you just must be your own champion here. There's very good help, absolutely much, much better than when I went through. But still, you need to make your own decisions, and if you can. And I went to UC, which is University of California Medical School, and they were champs. They were great. I went in Tuesday night, raining. I remember what I was wearing. It was a room full of, it was around 6 o'clock, and there were a lot of women in there, and they were all in their early 20s. And it just struck me, the age. And I went in for my appointment. It was late. This man was an amazing, Dr. Maury Galante, amazing fellow and doctor. And he said, come right in, Topher. And said, I'll do the pinch test first. Just pinch test? What's this? And so he just did this on my tumor, which was growing. And he said, oh, malignant. Where were you? Where were you when we started all this? And he said, he just looked at the mammogram. He said, yeah, you need to go in immediately, and you need a full mastectomy. I was like,
Wow.
And so he said, you know, tomorrow wouldn't be soon enough. And I was like, oh. So I said, look, I need a little bit of time to think about this, and where is the sanctuary? I'm laughing because it was so ridiculous. Where is the sanctuary garden or the, you know, I'd kind of heard about this because I was living in California, you know,
mm-hmm.
all of these good events and campaigns people have. And I thought, every hospital must have this. And so he said, what? Completely, like, what are you talking about? And then he said, well, there's a chapel. Now, I grew up Catholic, and I am an Irish Catholic, and chapels don't signify for me in my culture forward movement. I wanted a garden. I wanted something that would be growing. Chapels are, for me,
mm-hmm.
are usually about paying respects and many other things, but in particular in this type of case, it's not contemplation. So I said, well, I want the garden. I want the place with, you know, the growing things, the trees. You know, I know all about this. Nowhere to be seen. And so he said, well, why don't you go to the cafeteria? And cafeteria.
I'm just thinking that.
Food.
You can have a salad? I mean, what is
he? I had no idea what this was. It was nourishment, I guess.
Oh, okay.
So the
green.
I, you know, completely unclear to me. So I went to the cafeteria, which I thought was odd because it was in the basement. And then I thought, basement? Food? Why are we going here? So I said, I just follow this. He's a very good doctor. I go down there. It's closed, but there are vending machines with Cheetos and this kind of thing. And a television going on. And it's that sort of
lightning moment, and I looked at these fellows, and they were janitors, and I looked at the vending machines, and I thought, if I get through this, I am going to devote myself to making sanctuary gardens. I don't know how this is going to play out. I don't even really know what this all means, but I need to make a place, and I can, and I am capable of it, for people to go like myself in whatever situations, and I will follow the calling, whatever that calling is, and it will come.
Oh, that is incredible.
And it did come.
Yeah.
Actually, it came. I mean, Lisa, it came. I went into surgery, and it happened very quickly. I went into surgery on a Monday, and I came out on a Wednesday. I left the hospital on Wednesday. I had healers in the hospital. My company has many Hispanics in it, and they were very upset when they found out about this. And they sent in a woman who is a healer from their area, and they brought her in. And she sat with me all these days. You know, she would come in, and then she would leave, you know. But she sat at the night, and she would just stand by my bed all night. I mean, it was
Oh, my gosh, that's great.
It was very unusual. The UC was fine with it. They said, okay, you know, this is what you want to do. I had all organic food. I was doing a lot of organic gardens and farms. And so one of the people that I had done a farm for came in and brought in all the food so that I had no in the anesthetics you can have a residual, and I had none. They were bringing in garlic and they'd cooked it. So I was just fine. I sailed right through.
That's good.
And then I went to work on Thursday.
Oh, my God.
I was like, okay, well, I got a job to do. I have to find these sanctuary situations.
Oh,
and it happened. I mean, it literally happened on Friday. I got a call from an architect who I never had worked with, and they had heard of me, and they said, we want you to compete for Norris Cancer Center, which is down in Southern California. And I did. And I won that competition. It's an amazing story, but I won that. And I talked about that at the lecture.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I also know that at the Marin Cancer Institute in California, you use plants that are the source of several drugs used in various kinds of cancer treatment. And Dr. Francine Halper, a radiation oncologist, said of the garden, quote, no one really expected how positive an effect the garden would have on our patients and the staff. It offers a visual solace, a connection to nature, and a sense of peace. The spirit of the garden is growth and renewal, where one can feel connected instead of isolated. And, boy, she said that really well. That's really beautiful.
Yeah, I love
that. I can picture what it's like. I mean, just, you know, last year my daughter was in the hospital for a while with this weird kidney disorder, and it would have been nice to have something like that. I mean, I was so distraught, and, you know, I'm lucky. I live in the town I live in, two-thirds of it is conservation land. I take my dogs to the woods every day. But I was feeling like when I was in the hospital, like I need something green. You know, I need that healing connection.
And your daughter.
So wonderful. Yes.
I mean,
yes.
Just to look out the window or to feel that there is a I think one of the sort of subliminal aspects to this, and I mentioned your daughter, is that the world is a larger place than you and yourself and your condition.
Yes.
And if we can see those cycles and see that, you know, there's a Kwanzaa cherry has a little pink bud on it. There's a daffodil. I mean, I love daffodils. Who doesn't?
Mm-hmm.
They're fabulous. They're the harbingers of this cycle, you know, this sort of yellow, white, fabulous growth, mysterious, you know, pop up. So there's this sense that also things can shift and change. And I think that is very, very, a very hopeful message for many people and lights their spirit up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if everything is just concrete and, you know, the sidewalk, it's how hopeful is that? You know, it's not so great.
No, it's true. And, you know, another thing, I love your philosophy on your website. You write, quote, "In this time of our culture where experience is increasingly mediated through mere imagery, through the screens of the electronic information age, the environment of our daily experience yearns for groundedness." It is, it's so timely.
Oh, goodness.
It's really
I'm very impressed with what I wrote.
There's a lot more, you know. It was hard for me to just pick one quote. You wrote, and your website's wonderful. And by the way, I have to mention that on the exterior, you have sculpture interior, sculpture exterior, interior and exterior furniture, paintings and photographs, and I love the rope rolling balls that people can sit on.
Those are really cool.
Those are really cool. But we just, you know, the time goes so quickly, and I just want to thank you so much, Topher. And if you can mention your website.
Okay, it's Topher Delaney or tdelaney.com.
And I think you're wonderful, and the work
you
do is fabulous.
Thank you.
And if people want to reach me, they can go to itsyourhealthradio.org. I hope everyone has a great week. Get out in a garden. Check out some of these healing gardens. Check out Topher's